Somebody has been turning off my microphone, and it was only just after first service that I realized I kept doing it. So I'm teachable. I can learn. I really can. So we have our second reading today from 1 Corinthians, page 174, just a few pages after our first reading. Listen now for a word from God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for drawing all of us together today, drawing each of us to this place at this time. Help us to do something good in this space at this time in Christ's holy name. Amen. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, which made me think of this film clip from Castaway. So it's Advent, and just like Tom Hanks, we are at a crossroads. We know that Advent means coming, waiting, preparing, anticipation. It's all those things. But Advent is also a crossroads where we find ourselves. And maybe that's most pronounced today on the first Sunday of Advent. We could go in lots of directions. We could look to the advent of our childhood. Go way back. That's an option. Think about what was it like when we were growing up? What were the traditions that were so important to us growing up? all, not just the traditions on Sunday mornings, but all of those Advent and preparatory and Christmassy traditions that we got ready? Did we always decorate the house the day after Thanksgiving? Or in my mother's father's house, the day after Halloween? What was it like? We might be tempted, and in a good way, to go back, way back, to the advent of our childhood. Seems like that is brought forward to us through smells more than anything. The smells. If you smell the right kind of fir tree, you are transported. You know, I never realized how powerful smells were till I moved to Florida, and November smelled all wrong. All wrong. Just not, didn't smell right, right? That's about the past. That's an option. That's an option. Another option is the advent, we could say, of the present. This is represented by the question that Tara and I often ask each other: what did we do last year? What we want to do is just extend the present to this moment. Let's do what we did last year. Did we hang all six banners with four words? Let's do it again. We want to make sure. And so this is associated with sight. Does everything look right? Does it look right to you? I think it does. We think we put things in the right place. So we're just going to take the immediate past and push it into the present. This is Advent as usual. Did you write your article for the Advent devotional? You did. That was something you did last year, do that this year. If you wrote the same on the same text, it'd be perfect. Just let it run. It was good. I wrote it last year. Let's do it again. Let's just keep it going. Keep it going. Because frankly, sometimes we're struggling. This time of year is not all merry and bright for all of us. Sometimes it's all we can do just to do what we did. There's something to be said for the status quo, right? You know, they wouldn't call it the minimum if it wasn't the minimum. Think about that for a while you're alone. They wouldn't call it the minimum if it wasn't the minimum. If they weren't happy with it, they would raise the minimum. Then that'd be the minimum. So there's something to be said for the status quo. There's something to be said for the advent that we've always had, business as usual. That's an option. The past is an option, and what we've done in the recent past that we're just going to bring forward to the present, that's an option. But there's also, let's call it the advent of the future. The advent of the future that we've never experienced before. I think very well represented in that video clip by the stranger, the woman that we don't know anything about her really. She represents the possibilities of Advent. And so does St. Paul. Now, let me go out on a limb and say that there has never been an Advent sermon in this church, or I'll just be really bold for fun. There has never been an Advent sermon in this church or any other church on the first Sunday in Advent about 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, ever. That's probably not true. But it's very weird, to say the least. Why are we focusing on 1 Corinthians today? Because we have in this church been using the Feasting on the Word curriculum in our Sunday school classes. And so if the students went to Sunday school, they would have heard a lesson about 1 Corinthians. That would have been the text of the four texts that would have been focused on today. So I thought I could be helpful if in my preaching I focused on what the kids were focusing on. I kind of thought it would be a way to kind of throw a bone to the teachers to maybe help them out. But I didn't realize that if I did that, I would be subject to the whims of the Feasting on the Word people as to the text to talk about. And so, by golly, it's 1 Corinthians. This is weird. This is unusual. This is an Advent that we've never been to before, because it's not the past, and it's not even the Advent of the present. It's the Advent of the future. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul is talking, and you noticed that started at verse 3. If you wondered why, if you wondered what they were trying to hide, that's good. I want to foster in you a little suspicion. I know it's out there. I want to just help it grow. So in the first three verses, we have some standard New Testament Pauline letter stuff. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother, difficult name to pronounce. To the church, you okay? Everybody with me? Okay, just checking. Wanted to make sure that the lights weren't out and one of the bell players didn't hit me in the head with a mallet and I was just preaching to nobody. That happens in some churches. Okay, so we have some introductory letter stuff. To you, from me, and then we move into verse 3. We have the grace moment. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very standard Paul thing to say. And then he moves into the thanksgiving. Now, Paul is really good at writing these letters. He did not wait until the night before his project was due at Williams Middle School. He would never do that. I mean, not that anyone here would do that, but Paul would never wait till it was due the next day. Paul is working and thinking and always working and ruminating. Noah does that too. So he says in these first few verses, we're going to get like little hints of what this whole book is going to be about. And he says, in every way you have been enriched in Christ Jesus, in speech and knowledge of every kind. You are not lacking in any spiritual gift. And I love how Julie brought that up through the Eugene Peterson message translation. Just think, you don't need a thing. You've got it all. All God's gifts are right in front of you. That's really terrific. We all have spiritual gifts. This is the Advent of the future that we're talking about. This awareness that we all have spiritual gifts, all of us, and every spiritual gift is in this room, present, right in front of me, right in front of you. Now, all of us don't have every spiritual gift, right? I don't have every spiritual gift. You don't have every spiritual gift. I've been reminded of this very recently. Like, if you've ever seen me try to use a screwdriver, you would politely ask me to stop. It's not pretty. And you will feel like you're in danger. I'm not good in that way. That's not a spiritual gift of mine. That's not even a talent. But I have other, and you might be really good like that. You would say, give me that screwdriver. Just go think about something. Come back, it'll be all done. Right? I've been hoping you would do that the whole time. So all of us, well, each of us don't have all the spiritual gifts, but all of us have a spiritual gift. And so I want to imagine us at a crossroads again. We have the spiritual gifts of the heart. That's one way. Go down that way. Some of us are good at helping others, serving others. We have a heart for that, compassion for that. Some of us are really good at leadership. Many of those people are given a baton. They lead. They direct. They help all of us get together and go in the right direction. Some of us are really good when it comes to the heart, good at innovating and creating something that's so meaningful, right? Those are all down that way. We could go down that way. Some of you go down that way, the spiritual gifts of the heart. Some of you go the other way, your spiritual gifts of the mind. Good at research, good at gathering information. I like to think that the Advent calendar at the Presbyterian Center in Louisville, Kentucky, the first Sunday of Advent, and they open it up, they say, and somebody says, what's in the Advent calendar? And they say, it's a task force. Oh, a task force. I was hoping the first thing in the Advent calendar would be a task force. Oh, Some of them were sad because they worried what the thing the next day. But don't worry. I'll tell you, on the Advent calendar at the Presbyterian Center, the next day it's a task force too. It's task forces the whole month. That's what they're good. They get together in task force. Let's study it. Let's figure it out. These are the people that are up too late looking at WebMD just to make sure that that cough is not a terrible, terrible rare disease that will kill you. They're gonna search one more thing and then they'll be right to bed. Just one more thing. They're still searching right now. Some people are really good problem solvers. We've got some problem solvers here. I've met you. Some of you will cause problems so you can solve them. That's good. That's fine. That's all right. There's that. Some are really good at thinking about lots of ways of doing something. Hello, I'm there too. Those are all down that street. The spiritual gifts of the mind, all down that way, right? And some of us are down the spiritual gifts of activity, being active. There's some of us, not to tell tales out of school, but some of us can't sleep. We're too energetic. Can't shut anything off. Always going, always thinking, always doing. Have insomnia because we've been gifted. We're so energetic. Some of us are good at sort of pulling everything together and helping to see the vision, the one vision, right? Good at connecting. Those are the friends that always check up on you when things are not going well. You doing okay? They know you're not. You don't have to say anything. They just know. We've got those people. And we've got the people that oftentimes don't get highlighted enough. The people that just help everything go right. You got to have people like that. You know, today we're having communion, and if we didn't have people that helped everything go right, everything would go wrong. We need those people too. All these people. And they're all there. Spiritual gifts of the heart and the mind and the body or the soul, you might say, they're all there. And what I want us to do is just to see how the Spirit kind of pulls all that together and offers it to the church. Offers it to the church for the building up of the body of Christ, Paul would say later in Ephesians. Paul wants to gather us all together and see how the one Lord, the Spirit of Christ, gave all these gifts to each of us so that we could wait to prepare and prepare to wait for Christ's coming among us. Thanks be to God for these amazing gifts and the gift of Advent. Amen.